The processional gospel from John chapter 12, reading from the 12th verse. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see how you are gaining nothing? Look, the world has gone after him." This is the gospel of the Lord. The Old Testament reading for the Sunday of the Passion is taken from Zechariah, the 9th chapter. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare I will restore to you double." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson appointed for the Sunday of the Passion is from Philippians, the 2nd chapter, reading from the 5th verse. This text also serves as the basis for our meditation this morning. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being found in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew chapters 26 and 27. When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, 'Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people.' Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, 'Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor.' But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, 'Why do you trouble the woman? for she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment he sought an opportunity to betray him. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12, and as they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You have said so." Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to Peter, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled, and he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." And they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled. Then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.'" And the high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the chief priest tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further witness do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spit in his face and struck him. And some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is it that struck you?" Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. And a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And then he went out to the entrance. Another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate the governor. Then, when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." They said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is blood money." So they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Therefore that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed them. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said, You have said so. But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, Do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But still he gave no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, Who do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, Have nothing to do with this righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, Which of the two do you want me to release for you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? They all said, Let him be crucified. And he said, Why? What evil has he done? But they shouted all the more, Let him be crucified. So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. And all the people answered, His blood be on us and on our children. Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. They offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Christ, come down from the cross. So also the chief priests and the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we too will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him, for he said, I am the Son of God. And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him the same way. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." There were also many women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph and the mothers of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it should be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite the tomb. Next day, that is the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people, 'He has risen from the dead,' and the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We meditate, as earlier announced, upon the epistle lesson appointed for this day. These brief words focus our attention on the reality that Jesus has given you, even this day, his mind. Hear now again these words: "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus." In the name of Jesus, amen. What a remarkable occurrence it must have been for the people who were there to witness the Lord's triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem, that place of King David, the great king, and now his greater Lord and Son, comes into that same city. He does not come as a conquering hero. He comes as a lowly prophet of God, the lowly Son of God, because he comes into Jerusalem to focus on all that he has come to do, all that he has come to accomplish, all that the Father has sent him to do. Jesus has come to Jerusalem to be crowned king. But as you heard, his crown is a crown of thorns. Today's epistle bids you have this mind of Christ in yourself. But is this merely another of the seemingly impossible tasks of the children of God? Let this mind of Christ be in you. Or perhaps this is a time when you are tempted to inquire, "What would Jesus do? Is that what you mean, Pastor?" But either of these two approaches would be the wrong approach. For one would leave you overconfident that you are always correct in whatever you do, and the other would leave you despairing. Since this mind of Christ is to be yours, especially in its deep humility, it is this subject you must explore. What is the humility of Christ in these most holy 8 days of the Christian calendar, beginning today until the Feast of the Resurrection? But let me put the question to you this way. What is that mind of Christ that is to be in you? Let us consider it to be your purpose after you have been formed anew in Him. You see, when Christ is taught and preached to you, sometimes you grumble and mumble to yourselves. Christ did not consider it robbery. That is important. To be equal with God, He knew He was God. At the same time, you and I are tempted to seek our glory, thereby making robbery of ourselves. Sometimes you don't have time to hear about sin. You especially do not want to make time to hear about your own sin. Sin is so offensive that oftentimes you become angry at God. How dare Jesus say that you are sinners? Poor, miserable ones at that. He says not what you want to hear, but He says what you need to hear. Christ has come to give you what you need. But you don't always want what you need. You want what you want. What you want is affirmed in the self-delusional goodness that you proclaim for yourself. You want some purpose to drive your life. But fellow hearers of the word, where could that purpose come from? It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. It comes from the events of this first Holy Week. Your true purpose comes from Him who comes in the name of the Lord. It comes from Him who made Himself nothing, taking the form of the lowliest servant and coming in the likeness of men. Your purpose comes from Him, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. Your purpose lies not within you, but in Christ, who, being found in appearance as a man, humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross, for you. It lies in Him who knew no sin and became sin for you. It was this purpose and for this purpose that the Lord entered Jerusalem to be crowned and coronated. Your Lord willingly set aside His divine nature to assume your human nature, all the time remaining still true God. Your purpose, your life, your hope are found in the One who is preached, Jesus Christ crucified and risen. It is Christ given to you in word and sacrament. If there had been no Holy Week, no coming into Jerusalem, there would have been no Easter. On the cross, Christ died to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. This is the mind of God's Son in eternity. Before His incarnation, the Son was always God. Through the Word, all was created by Him. And in the fullness of time, at the time of His incarnation, God took into Himself humanity and the humility of the cross. And the humility of the cross means more than just the taunts and the jeers and the threats of the bystanders. Your Savior, God's Son, the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, shared your nature and all the outward circumstances, trials, and temptations endemic to your life and all humanity. And just like your life, He too was tempted and led and tried and survived. His was a life lived always in obedience to His Father and to His Father's will, as you heard in the gospel today. For in the garden He did not pray, "As I will, but as you will, Father. He humbled himself even yet further when in obedience and his obedience stood that final test of death. Those of you who know me have probably heard me say this before, but if I had been on the cross and if I had been the Son of God, when they came by and said, "Come down from that cross and save yourself," I would have been sorely tempted to accommodate their reply. But that was not the Father's will. His was to be a common death, not by natural means, but by the shameful and cruel death of the cross. His was to be a death that bore the wrath of his Father, wrath that you and I deserved for our sins. And yet there on the cross is your promised King. And from there, he rules and reigns. His mind is always set toward Jerusalem, and his mind is always focused on the cross. To have the mind of Christ, brothers and sisters of Christ, is to follow the life of the cross. First, acknowledging his life to be there as a substitute for your own. And then to let this mind be in you. And your life is the life also of the cross. Jesus bids you pick up your cross. Follow me. And it will be a crucifixion when that occurs, a crucifixion that you do not want. Yet you may go to your cross willingly as he went, because in baptism you are connected to him. In the crucifixion of Christ, in the crucifixion that God the Father wants, is where your salvation is to be found. There is found the source of the forgiveness that you need. This is the source of the new mind in you. From Christ, on the cross and his pierced side, flows water and blood from the crucified and wounded Christ. It is this water and this blood that keeps you a forgiving and forgiven child of God. Let this mind be in you. So today, the Church in her wisdom invites you to take hold of this octave, these 8 days of the Church's year, and become mindful of the crucifixion that the Father desires. The first crucifixion is the crucifixion of his only begotten Son, so that you may be made his child. And the second crucifixion is your own. Do you not know that you have, who have been baptized into Christ, have been baptized into his death, crucified and drowned in the baptismal waters, so that you may be made alive again and again in Christ through the forgiveness of sins. So as you view the crucifixion of the Son of God, you may speak by faith, along with the centurion at the foot of the cross, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And having spoken with the mind of Christ, you are his beloved child and an heir of eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.